Praying comes naturally to some and not to others. And if I'm being honest, it does not come naturally to me. Hashtag messy middle. But it is an essential practice for the Christian life and the life of anyone on mission. It really is a gift that can carry us through, give us direction, and help us to practice trust. I don't want you to feel inadequate in your prayers any longer, and so I've invited my guest, Brooke McLaughlin, on to talk about prayer. She gives us such good encouragement and practical wisdom you may need today. Let's go. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but is here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome, and to my old faithfuls, welcome back. Before we dive into our conversation with my guest today, I really just wanted to take a few moments to do just a little bit of teaching here, to talk a little bit more about prayer than what we did in the actual episode. Brooke does such an amazing job in her teaching on there, but we were going to have another episode with another guest, and it just didn't work out for us to talk about kind of the scope of prayer, and so I'm just going to do a quick little intro for us. So let's do just a very basic breakdown of prayer and the different types that can really enhance our prayer life and deepen our relationship with God, realizing our need for Him. Prayer in and of itself is simply communicating with God. There are many ways to do this, and there are many different types of prayers that we can actually use. In fact, I would almost argue that there are very few ways to do this, like, wrong, and that our heart posture is actually what is way more important to God than getting the words sounding, you know, exactly like a piece of poetry, or, you know, having the right tone, or even, I don't know, the right volume. He continually reminds us that he cares more about the condition of our hearts. So I want to check out Matthew 6. This is where Jesus is talking about prayer. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And the point that Jesus is trying to make here is that the condition of our hearts, our heart posture towards God, really matters when we are going into prayer. It's remembering that he is sovereign, he already knows our requests, and it's also remembering that we do not have to be flashy or loud or over the top in our prayers, that actually he cares more about that personal devotion, that personal relationship with him. So when we close the doors and we're spending time just with him, that's where the gold is, that's where the treasure is. So I love that passage. I keep that in mind when I'm praying, just to remind myself that God cares way more about my heart posture than he does about how grandiose my prayers are. And that's an encouragement to you as well. This year, I also read just this wonderful little prayer devotional called Why Pray by John DeVries. And I actually linked it in the show notes because it's just so good. It's just this unknown missionary who did his mission work in India, and he wrote this devotional. And it just was so powerful. And so I based some of the teaching this next little bit on him and stuff that's in there. Please grab a copy of that. When I read that book, it made me realize that a lot of my prayers are often that of supplication. So it's, "Lord, please provide, you know, fill in the blank." And I'm always asking him to change things and to give me something that I'm asking for. But actually, we can see there are a lot of different ways that we should be praying. And we should never have a lack of anything to say. although, you know, not to go on and on, like it says in the verse. But let's just look at the Lord's Prayer. Let's break that down and see how many different types of prayer are actually in there. And you can actually pray the Lord's Prayer all the way through and kind of picking up and expanding on all of those different types of prayer when you're going through. I found that to be really helpful. So it says, this then is how you should pray. This is from Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, which that is a prayer of adoration. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is consecration. That's that verse of surrender. God, build your kingdom, not mine. Next, give us today our daily bread. That's supplication. That's asking for something. And it's also trusting that God is going to provide for us. And then forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is keying in on confession. Confession is a type of prayer. And I've actually a very powerful type of prayer when we're being really vulnerable about our sin and we're asking for His forgiveness. Next, it says, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this would be a type of protection type of prayer, talking about spiritual warfare. And if you're interested in that, you are going to love our next episode. I'm just going to tell you that much. But there are also just so many other different types of prayer throughout Scripture that are not included in the Lord's Prayer. Although that being said, the Lord's Prayer is just so packed. It's such a beautiful piece of Scripture because it gives us so many different things to pray about and pray for. But there's also prayers like lament, which is just sharing our grievances with God. There's prayers of thanksgiving, which is saying, thank you for everything that you have given me, Lord. I know this is all from you. There's prayers of reflection, of looking back on our days, looking back on all that God has done in and through us. Then there's also intercession, which is asking for things on behalf of other people. So there are so many different types of prayer. I know there's even more than that. But just know that we should always have a reason to sit down and talk to the Lord about one of these things. If we just feel like we're drawing a blank on what to pray for that day, look at the list and really sense out, okay, which one do I need to really focus on here? So many different ways. Not only that, not only are there different types of prayer, but there are also different methods of prayer, which is so amazing. So we have prayers like fasting. And if you want to hear an episode on fasting, we had one with Wendy Speak, which was so good. There's silent prayers. I love silence and solitude, just closing myself off and just spending time in the presence of God. So powerful. You can go on prayer walks. You can pray through the Scriptures, which Brooke is going to talk about in this episode. You can journal your prayers. You can have just plain conversation like you would with a friend with God. You can do Lectio Divina, which is actually meditating on the Scriptures and asking for God to reveal things to you through the Scriptures. There are contemplative prayers. There's so many different methods of prayer. And that is so encouraging. That is just so exciting to me because that just shows what an adventure prayer can be in our lives. Okay, so today's conversation, though, it focuses on praying for others in general. And in particular, our kids, with the Praying Mom author, Brooke McLaughlin, who is the founder of Million Praying Moms. She encourages us to use our prayer lives to advance and reveal God's kingdom, first in our homes and then out in the world. You guys, our prayer lives really, really matter. And this conversation just continues to affirm that. And so I don't want to waste another moment. I hope that you felt encouraged. I hope that you kind of picked up a new way to pray or a new type of prayer that you can start praying. I know you're going to enjoy so much of this episode with Brooke. She is just so generous. So without further ado, let's dive in. Well, welcome, Brooke, to Faith School. I am so honored that you are here to talk to us about prayer specifically. This is something that I feel like a lot of people sometimes don't even know where to begin. We know it's essential to our faith, but we don't exactly know where to begin. And in this kind of back to basics series that we're doing, we're really going to hone in on that. What is prayer? How do we use it, especially to serve others? So first off, just what are your roles right now and where are you recording from?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. As far as the roles that I play, I think, you know, the most important is daughter of God, and I'm a wife. I've been married for almost 20 years. This summer, we will celebrate 20 years.
Congrats.
And thank you so much. I've been married to the man that I've had a crush on since the third grade, which is actually true story.
I love that.
Fun story for another time. But we have together two boys, that are 14 and 16 years old, and they are my greatest joy and my greatest challenge. Mm-hmm. And they are very much intricately a part of the story of my prayer life. Mm-hmm. We live in the southwestern part of the state of Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains. And we are in love with the culture of this area. It's a rich cultural history. My boys both play the fiddle, and we love old time music and are part of lots of competitions and things like that. And we spend also a lot of time playing baseball and football and basketball and all the other stuff that boys love to do. So that's my life in a nutshell. It's what we do. But God's also given me the privilege of being able to write a few books for moms. And I'm just really excited to share some of what I've learned about prayer with your audience today.
I love that. I also love that you have boys that are into sports and all that. My family and my husband's family, we're big sports families. Mm-hmm. And we're just like crossing our fingers that, and saying a prayer, we're crossing our fingers that our son will be ready to play sports too. He seems to like basketball so far, which was how my husband and I met. So I'm like hoping that we can continue.
Yeah, it's super fun. We have a blast.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right. So I want to go back to kind of the beginning, or like the beginning of when your prayer life really started to take form. And what, so can you just give us a little insight into what has your own relationship with prayer really looked like over the years?
Absolutely. So I was raised in church. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home. My parents took me to church, you know, often. Mm-hmm. I went to everything. I was a part of the youth group. I sang in the choir. I did, you know, if I did everything that I could do in the church, and I was saved when I was 9. And so I had an understanding of prayer from a young age, but most mm-hmm. of it was related to the more formal events of the church. Yeah. My parents, I know, prayed for me, but we didn't do a lot of praying out loud in my home. So most of what I had heard was just related to those very formal occasions, or mm-hmm. People who would say, "I will pray for you." And I believe they probably did, but I don't know if they did, right? Yeah. So, and I said that to other people, so I will pray for you. But sometimes I did, and then sometimes the busyness of life mm-hmm. took over and I forgot. And so that was really my whole experience with prayer. I knew that it was something that God asked us to do as believers. I knew that it was or should be a part of my relationship with yeah. Him, but I didn't have it modeled for me in a really personal way growing up. And so when I went to graduate school, right before I went to graduate school, I had a very kind of life-changing situation that happened. And I mentioned earlier that I was 9 when I was saved. I was about 21 when I first started walking really closely with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And about that time, I went to graduate school, and God gave me a roommate when I was in graduate school who was a prayer warrior. She mm-hmm. was a force of nature. And for the first time ever, when I would have a problem or an issue, and I would say, "I'm struggling with this," Heather would say to me, not, "I will pray for you," but, "Let's pray right now."
Yeah.
And that was life-changing for me to have someone say, "Let's do this right now," and lay hands on me and pray. What she did was teach me the language of prayer. She taught me what it looks like in my day-to-day life. And that was really the beginning of me starting to open my heart to a deeper experience of prayer than I had ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. And then I had kids. So, you know, kids tend to change everything about yeah. our lives, and mine certainly did. I have 2 boys, as I mentioned, who were born 23 months apart. And as someone who was a very goal-oriented person, someone who sees success as being able to work hard mm-hmm. to check off a list of your dreams and goals, it was a dream and goal of mine to raise godly men. Mm-hmm. And I realized very quickly in my motherhood experience that that was not something I was going to be able to do on my own. Mm-hmm. My children kicked my feet out from under me in all the best ways, truly mm-hmm. in all the best ways.
Yeah.
They showed me for the first time ever a deep need and desperation for the Lord. Not that I had not been saved. I was saved and had been for a while, but a deep, desperate need for Jesus every moment of every day. Mm-hmm. And I had never really experienced a need for him that deeply. And it's not that I was rejecting it. Nothing in life had presented me with a need quite that deep so far, the way that my children did. And so while that experience of, you know, having those two young boys so close together was difficult for me,
yeah,
I'm really glad that God allowed it, because he showed me my heart in a way that I might not have seen it otherwise. So when my children came along and I first realized how much I needed the Lord as a part of my motherhood journey, that is when I really, really started to pray. And I went back and looked at, you know, at people like Heather and how she had taught me to pray, and yeah, other people like Deb, who I had, you know, had an experience. She was my boss when I, in my first ministry job, and I learned from her. And so I began to put those things into practice in a newer way. But in reality, it started out very much with me just saying, I need you, Jesus. Yeah. I need you right now. I can't do this by myself. I can't change this moment. Would you please come? Mm-hmm. And that's how it started.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what motherhood will show you and teach you, and how God will use it to get you exactly where he needs you to be.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I've experienced that myself as well. So you said that you had this like desperate need, mm-hmm, for God, and that realizing that prayer was essential in that way. Can you fill me in then on what were you needing from him, mm-hmm, in those moments? Like, what was essential about your prayer life in that desperation?
Yeah, I don't know that I really realized just how essential prayer was until I had several years of it under my belt, mm-hmm, and maybe could look back at the way that God had changed me through it more clearly. In the beginning, as we just said, I had that sheer desperation that, mm-hmm, made prayer seem essential. Like, I needed God to do something in my home. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why I first started praying, was because I wanted God to do something in my children. What, mm-hmm, actually ended up happening was that God did something in me. Yeah. Not that he didn't do anything in my children,
for
he
sure
did, mm-hmm, but he did something in me. And now I recognize that prayer, and I would even say more specifically, praying God's word, has changed who I am from the inside out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I got this complete internal makeover. I'm still me. I still struggle with some of the same things that I struggled with before. I still have sins that I am working on, you know, mm-hmm, as we all do. But when you change one part of an equation, you get a different outcome. Mm-hmm. And in real life, that takes time. In math, we can get it done real quickly, right? A plus B equals C. A plus something else doesn't equal C anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In life, it takes a little bit longer to see a different outcome. And now, mm-hmm, it's more of me just understanding that I could not handle everything that God's given me to handle if I didn't partner with him in prayer in a significant way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It really is a partnership that we can have with him.
Mm-hmm.
I love that phrasing. Okay, so we're doing a back to basics series, and we're going right back to the basics of the practical side of faith, including prayer. And so I want to go just ask some kind of basic questions. And, mm-hmm, one of them would be, why should we be praying for others? Why should we be praying for our kids? And what even makes it effective for someone who is just like, well, I mean, it seems like a great idea, but I don't know really what it does.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And I hear that question is important because we are a results-driven culture and society. And so we want to know, if I'm going to put this in, what am I going to get out? And I think that's just a really natural question for people to ask as they're considering, you know, putting some time and effort into prayer. Let me answer the first question first, which was, why should we pray? And I think most basically, it's because God tells us to. There are both direct and indirect, or maybe I should say direct and implied verses in the Bible that tell us that we should pray. Some of the scriptures say, do this. Others tend to, you know, assume that we know we should be praying. But, mm-hmm, whatever it is, the Bible makes it clear that we should be praying, whether we're told directly or whether it's implied, we're told that we should be praying. And you know, that's just the most basic reason. God told us to do it. So it's really, if you boil it down to the most basic reason, it's an obedience issue. If you are not praying, then what you're actually doing is assuming that you don't need God and that you don't, you have what it takes to do everything on your own. And so God tells us to pray. I will say though, that there are theologians out there who are way smarter than I am, way smarter, who don't have all the clear answers on how prayer works or what makes it effective. It's effective, again, because God says it is. It works because it's the way that God designed our relationship and our role and partnership with Him. So many times moms will say to me, well, if God is sovereign, in other words, if His plans are going to happen, then why do I need to pray? And I think that's a good question. And my answer to that is that God, for whatever reason, has chosen to allow us to be a part of that sovereign plan. And somehow prayer is a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've wondered that myself, even, you know, almost like why bother if it's going to end up the way it's going to end up anyway. But when you do engage, it just changes your relationship with Him, and it just shows His faithfulness in a completely different way. So it's just really like trusting Him in that process it of is. Like, even if He is sovereign over all of this, I can trust Him with my prayers.
It is. And it's trust, but it's also just realizing that we don't necessarily have to understand everything in order to do it. I don't know why God designed His relationship with us as His children to include asking us to pray for certain things. I don't get it. I know that He's sovereign, and I know that He can do whatever He wants to, and I know that His plans will come to fruition. So I really don't understand why He needs me. And he doesn't need me in the end. He really doesn't, but He has designed it so that His plans and our prayers form a partnership. It's just the way it is. And so it's, you know, it is that trust that God, because God says so, then I will enter in faith and join Him in what He's asking me to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So then as we enter into that relationship and that partnership with God, what are some of the prayers that you find yourself praying for yourself as you lead your kids or others? You know, we can see the need for other people sometimes, but we maybe forget to pray for ourselves as we're leading. So what are some of those prayers that you pray for yourself as you lead your kids or others?
Yeah, there's been several over the years, but I'll share two that I'm praying for myself right now. One is from 1 Peter 1:13, and that verse says, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So I found that verse, not that I'd never read it before, but the Lord kind of caused it to jump out on the page to me because I really wanted to ask Him to give me a mind that was ready for action. I feel like so often, I probably say this or have said this. I'm actually trying not to say this much anymore, but I have said so many times, my brain doesn't want to work today, or, you know, I can't get my mind going today. I feel sluggish, or I'm tired, or whatever. Yeah. And in order to be able to function, not that we all don't get tired or need a break, but I have asked the Lord, and through this verse, I asked the Lord, would you give me a mind that's ready for action? Would you make me sober-minded? And would you help me to place my hope where it truly belongs, not in the things that I can see around me, but in the grace that you bring me? So it reorients my mind, and it gives me the opportunity to say, Lord, I need you. This world is muddy and fuzzy sometimes that I live in. So would you give me a clear mind? And then another one that I've just recently started praying is from 1 Kings 3:9. And your listeners may recognize it as the prayer that, or it's what Solomon asked for from the Lord when the Lord said, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people that I may discern between good and evil." And you guys, I am a normal mom, just like anybody else. And I have very, very normal teenage boys, just like everybody else. And I often don't know what to do in certain situations.
Yeah.
I often, especially, you know, I feel like our children are growing up in an entirely different world than what you and I were raised in. And though some of the root issues may be the same, the expression of them in the world that they live in and the tools that they have to express them are radically different than what I had when I was growing up. And so because of that, I often don't know what to do or how to answer or how to help my children understand things. And so, you know, it's Solomon was saying as the king, Lord, help me govern these people. I'm just saying, as a normal mama, Lord, would you help me govern these people that you've given me to govern? Yeah. Would you help me to know and be able to discern between good and evil? And would you give me the ability to understand? And I also apply both of those to my ministry, Million Praying Moms as well. Lord, help me to have a sober mind. Help me to understand. Help me to see good from evil. It can apply in a lot of different ways, but those are two that I pray a lot for myself in this season.
Oh my gosh, Kaya, I love that so much, because on a personal note, I'm starting a new ministry position where I am leading women at my church. Mm-hmm. And man, I think I'm going to tuck that in my back pocket. I'm going to use that for sure. Cause I think that's so wise. Cause you know, he was in a position of leadership, and I just love that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep that in mind for sure. All right. So next question is just, you mentioned praying Jesus. Can you give us a picture of what that looks like to pray Jesus?
I know it's weird. I know it's weird terminology. In fact, I had two different pastors that I ran that by before I put it in the book, because I was like, am I getting this right? Or am I way out in left field with this? So please tell me what's going on here. And they both affirmed that I was on the right track. So that's why that's in there. Praying Jesus. So let's look at the Gospel of John, right? In the Gospel of John, Jesus is referred to as the Word, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we are, like, I believe in a very tangible way that when we are reading the Word of God, the Bible, we are reading Jesus. The Word equals Jesus. It is Him in some strange, slightly difficult to understand way.
Yeah.
This idea that Jesus is the Word is a real thing in the Christian life. And so if we are praying the Word of God, then we are in effect praying Jesus. Mm-hmm. And part of the picture of that I love is that scripture also tells us that Jesus is the mediator between God and man, right? He is always going to the Father on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what to pray, Jesus is praying for you. But if you're praying scripture, then you're literally joining Jesus as the Word of God, and you're praying that back to God. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's something maybe a little bit holy about that. I don't know if praying scripture is any better or any holier than any other form of prayer, but there is something special about it because of that.
I love that picture. I really like that. Yeah, because I'm actually someone who I struggle to use scripture in my prayers. I don't, it's not my go-to, but it's something that I'd like to make a habit of. And I've kind of thought about more recently that I need to maybe start implementing a little bit, but that makes sense to me. That really makes sense to me. That's awesome. Okay. So when you're praying for others, we talked about when we pray for ourselves, when you're praying for other people that you're leading, or just like the people in our lives, like, you know, in your book, you're talking more about your kids. But this could be for the mothers who are listening, but it could also just be for someone in their workplace. They want to pray for the people around them. So what are the types of prayers that you keep praying, the ones that you return to as you're praying for your kids or you're praying for other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a couple of verses for my children. I'll just start there and then expand. But there's a few for my children that I have been praying since they were very, very little. One is from Exodus 36:26. And that's really a verse that I reserved more before they made professions of faith. Mm-hmm. That verse talks about how God is the one that turns hearts of flesh to hearts of stone to hearts of flesh.
Right.
And so I would pray often before they were saved, Lord, would you change their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh? And I think we could pull it a little bit further out of that, because sometimes, you know, we all have rocky areas in our hearts, even after we're saved. Yeah. And so I'll sometimes still pray that for them. But there's two other verses that they kind of refer to as their special prayers that I've actually prayed for them since they were born. One is In Galatians 5, we get the fruit of the Spirit. And so I have prayed that often for our kids. Lord, would you fill them up with love, joy, yeah, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. And when my kids were really young, we would often make a little bit of fun and say, I would, you know, go through the whole thing and then we would get to self-control. And then I would say lots and lots and lots of self-control. So we would kind of try to make them laugh a little bit with that. And so we would pray that God would develop those things mm-hmm. in them. And then in number 6, it's kind of a famous prayer. It says, where the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And there's a song on a CD, I believe it's by Twyla Paris. And there's that verse she's put it to song. And I would sing that to them and rock them with that a lot. And so now, even today at 14 and 16, they will come, you know, I used to be the one going in their bedroom to pray over them. Oftentimes their dad and I are now in bed slightly earlier than they are. Yeah. And they will come to me and say, pray your special prayers. And then for other people, my pattern tends to be the same. Like there tends to be verses that I will pray mm-hmm. for people over and over again. And even if I'm not praying a verse, I really just like to let the Lord lead me. And one of the ways that I do that is by, it's kind of wrapped around my nighttime prayer routine. I have a different routine for in the morning versus in the evening. Mm. Years ago, I started doing something that I like to call praying myself to sleep. I had some trouble sleeping for a season in my life, or often during that season, I found that I would wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I just started praying. And I would start out and ask the Lord, who do I need to pray for right now? Who do you want me to pray for, Lord? Let's use this time wisely. I'm laying here wide awake and I can't go to sleep. Who can I pray for? A lot of times I start with my husband. He's right, you know, right beside me in bed. I'll start with him. And then I'll move to my children, you know, if they have particular needs that they are going through in that moment. And then when I get done, I'll just say, okay, Lord, who's next? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I don't even have to ask that question. As I get through with one person, the Lord has already put someone else on my heart that needs prayer. And sometimes I know why, and sometimes I don't, right. But he's been really faithful as I've asked him to meet me there and offered him that time, that sacred time. Then he's been faithful to bring to me the names of people that need prayer. And then I just pray for them and ask him to meet their needs and take care of them and show them what they need to see and all those things. And sometimes I never know exactly why God put that person on my heart. Right. There have been other times when he showed me that, but I just try to be faithful with whoever he lays on my heart. And it's really just one of my favorite ways to pray for other people, because I'm opening myself up and saying, God, you tell me who to pray for. You lay this person on my heart.
Yeah.
And it just opens the door for the Holy Spirit to do his work. It's been a really nice way to fall asleep over the years.
I love that. That's so practical. And you said you have a morning routine as well, a morning prayer routine. Can you tell us a little bit about that? We love that practical stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the morning, my prayers are much more directly influenced by whatever I'm studying in the Bible. So it is, you know, this is my time. I take the boys to school. I come back and I have my quiet time in the morning before I get started working. And I'm reading the Bible. And, you know, it's really not rocket science. People say, how do you pray scripture? And to me, it just seems so natural. And like, if God is showing me something in his word that he wants to do in me, which is what the word of God does, right? Hebrews 4:12 says it's living and active and it pierces to the division of our souls. It literally has the power to change us. If God is showing me something in his word that applies to either my own heart or that of my family, then I just take a moment and go ahead and pray it back to him. I just take that verse and I turn it into a prayer. Mm-hmm. And so my prayer life is not necessarily scripted in either place, although there are times when I keep a prayer list. I think that's perfectly acceptable and a good habit, but I don't do it all the time. A lot of times I just take what I'm learning in the word itself and what God is speaking to me in that moment, and then pray it over whatever situation I find myself in or for another person if it happens to apply there.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's so practical. Thank you So, okay, this is where a lot of people get stuck though, when it comes to prayer. I mean, I've experienced like the gift of prayer. I know so many people that are listening have experienced the gift, but there's also some heartache that can come with prayer when we just don't feel like our prayers are being answered.
Yeah.
So what would you kind of encourage us with, or, you know, what do we need to keep in mind when our prayers feel like they're just not being answered?
Yeah, I understand that completely. I have had times, you know, there's something I can think of right now that I've been asking the Lord to do for decades and he hasn't done it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I get that. I really do understand that. But I think I want to say it was Elizabeth Elliot who I read that said something to the effect of, no, wait, or not yet are all reasonable answers to prayer. Sometimes we feel like if God doesn't answer now or yes, that it's not an answer.
Yeah.
But it is an acceptable answer for God to say no. And it is an acceptable answer for him to say, not right now, sweetie. And it's also an answer, acceptable answer for him to say, I need you to wait. And so we have to remember, I did some studying in 2020 about the Lord's Prayer. And it made a profound impact on my, on the way that I understand this particular question. I had, you know, quoted the Lord's Prayer along with my church or other, in other situations. I don't know, too many times to count over my childhood and adult years, but I'd never really taken the time to study it in depth. And so I did that in 2020. And one of the things that God showed me is that in my prayer life, I am often praying and asking God to build my kingdom and not his.
Yeah.
And what that prayer says is, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here's a test that you can offer yourself. If you're praying for something and God doesn't answer it the way you want him to, then, and you get mad about it, you might be praying for God to build your own kingdom and not his.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's wrong to ask God for the things that we need, but it's the way we hold them. Are we holding them closed fist? Then we're probably asking God to build our own kingdom. Are we holding them open palmed? Then we're maybe a little bit closer to saying, God, build your kingdom in me and in my family. And those pieces of information have really helped me to understand and find more peace with when God doesn't answer the way I think he should or want him to.
I love that you added that about peace, because I was going to say that phrase, or that part of the verse, you know, thy kingdom come, your will be done. We have been using that in our prayers lately, my husband and I, and it just gives so much more peace. It's like, I'm handing all of this over to you, God, and you're going to shut the doors that need to be shut, and you're going to open the ones that need to be opened. And we can trust you that you are doing what's best for your kingdom, even when we don't understand or when it hurts. So yeah, there's just an incredible amount of peace when we can really surrender it all to him and know that we're praying for his will to be done and not our own. So I'm really glad that you said that. So one of the other things that comes to mind when I think about, you know, the moms that are listening, or just really anyone in, I feel like in my audience, life feels really busy. You know, it can just be so overwhelming. And so we want to get really practical about, how do we get prayer in here? So what would you say to the women who feel like they just don't have time to pray at all, let alone for their kids or, you know, other people? Like, I'm just trying to like get through the day myself, you know? So what practical kind of wisdom can you give us here?
Yeah. Well, I will say, first of all, there is an entire chapter about that inside of Praying Mom that is written for that mom in particular. We have a chapter both for moms of littles who sometimes feel like they can't even think straight, much less, you know, pray. We also have a chapter in there for moms who just feel so busy that they don't know how to make prayer a practical priority. And here's what I would say. If we are not praying, if prayer is not a priority in our lives, then on some level, and I know I'm going to sound a little bit blunt right now, and I apologize, but sometimes we need conviction, right?
Yeah.
If we are not doing that, then we are in practice saying, I don't need you, God. I just want to encourage your listeners to stop for just a second and ask themselves whether that's really what they believe.
Right.
Do they really believe they don't need God? I don't think they do. I think on some level they know they need God, but it's important for us to pause and ask ourselves the question, are we acting like we need God, or are we trying to do this all in our own strength? Yeah. So many of the moms that I talk to feel like they are the ones holding everything together. Mm-hmm. And in practical reality, there is some truth to that. Moms do tend to, you know, keep everything running the way it's supposed to. Yeah. They're the ones you go to when you have a question, you know, that kind of thing. I don't mean to leave dads out, but that does tend to be somewhat of the mom role in a family. But the reality is that God is the one who is holding all things together. That's what the scripture tells us. So we are not responsible for holding it all together or for keeping everything together. And sometimes it requires God forcing us to realize that we can't hold it all together ourselves before we'll realize how much we need him. And I will tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart, until you realize how desperately you need Jesus on a day-to-day basis, you will not have a vibrant prayer life. You won't. It's wrapped up. You're not going to reach out to Jesus for help that you need for the moments of your day until you recognize how deeply you need him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. One of the things that, you know, when I was thinking about questions for you, and specifically in praying for others, I wonder, you know, as a community of believers who love each other, we're part of the family of God, we want to be able to pray in community. We want to be able to pray with other, know our need for God with other people. What happens sometimes is that when we're praying in community, we don't always do it very well. I've experienced it, you know, I'm sure most people can relate to this somehow, that it kind of turns into more like, well, we need to pray for this person because I need to tell you what they did. Or sometimes our prayers can turn into a sermon for other people to hear about how we really feel about a situation. There's lots of different things that can happen when we're praying in community. And I just want us to be able to do this really, really well and in a really healthy way, because there's power in doing it in community. But what would you say, just some things that, you know, what do we need to keep in mind when we're praying in community so that we're doing it in a really healthy way, especially when we're praying for other people?
I think we have to check our motives. You know, the things, the examples that you just gave, the motive wasn't quite right in what you were saying. And so we have to ask ourselves, why are we actually wanting to share this prayer request? And I would say if the prayer request, just some general rules of thumb, if the prayer request is not public, in other words, if someone told you this prayer request in confidence and has not given you permission specifically to share it, then don't do it. You know, I think so often we feel like we're doing something good and holy when we say, well, I need you to pray for this person who told me this, when really we're just wanting to talk about it or, you know, that kind of thing. And I just think, again, that goes back to our motives. So if it's not a public request, then I think we have to keep it private and just pray about it yourself. Just knowing that it's, you know, God is enough to take care of that until you know that you can share it. And if you want to share it with other people, assuming that your motives are pure because you want, you genuinely want more people praying for that person, not just because we want attention or we want to be the first person to tell the story or whatever, then you go to that person and ask for permission. And if they say no, then you honor that. And if they say yes, then you can, you know, then you can do that. But I think we have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us about the state of our hearts. And we have to be respectful when someone comes to us in confidence. We just can't go and share that with any old person in the name of prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to bring it up because I feel like that happens a lot. Even when we're talking about our own kids, sometimes it's just not appropriate to share some of the things that they are personally going through.
You're absolutely right. And I learned that through writing, to be quite honest. Like when they were little, I could tell all these funny stories about stupid things they did or things that they did that taught me something about God, because it was my story, right? Now they're 14 and 16 years old. And if I want to share something about them, I ask their permission, because this is no longer my story. this is their story. And I have to respect that. So in some ways it's, you know, it's very similar. We have mm-hmm. to respect that our children are living their own story and that they have a right to some say-so over how that gets shared.
Absolutely. And even, you know, you're saying like that they have their own story, mm-hmm. that phrase alone is important to remember when we're praying for our kids. I mean, my son is only 4 and a half, so I know I've got a long way to go
yes,
in terms of and how my prayers are going to change for him over time and all that kind of stuff. But one thing I've realized in just praying for other people, period, is they have their own story mm-hmm. to walk and to entrust God with them and not try to be the Holy Spirit to them.
Yeah.
It's really given me a freedom in that I don't have to have control over their mm-hmm. story. It's theirs to own and theirs yes. to walk through with God.
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite things to remind myself of is that I often have to give my children the grace to grow out of whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. They need that. God gave me the grace and continues to give me the grace to grow yes. and mature in my faith. And my kids are in that same process. So mm-hmm. we have to give them the grace to grow through and mature out of whatever they're going through.
Oh, that's such an encouragement. All right. So as you have prayed for others, as we just kind of wrap up the meat of this conversation, as you've prayed for others, what have you learned about God?
Yeah, I jotted down a few things when I got your questions. I thought, oh, I really want to get this one because it's so good. And there's any number of things that I could have said, but I have a few things to share. One is that I truly believe that God is still at work in the lives of his children today. Mm. He is at work in your life. Even if you can't see him, even if you're in a wait or a not yet or a no season of your prayers, he is at work building his kingdom and you are a part of what he's doing. Yes. You're not the whole thing. The whole thing doesn't revolve around you, mm-hmm. but you are a part of what he's doing and he will take care of you. Another one is that he works on his own timetable, that, you know, the idea that we want everything now is just, you know, we don't get to snap our fingers and tell God what to do. He works on his own timetable. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned already that he's building his kingdom and not mine. Yeah. He never, ever leaves me. When I need him, he responds to my humble, sincere need of his presence. There has yeah. never been a time when I have gone to the Lord and said, I need you, that he hasn't been there for me. It yeah. doesn't mean that he's always answered my prayer exactly the way I wanted him to,
yeah.
but his presence is available to us all the time. And here's the final one that I will say, that presence of God, I need that more than I need answers to my prayers.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's so good. Cause sometimes he is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That presence. Oh, I love that so, so much. Well, Brooke, this has been so encouraging and I know that it's going to just point people back to prayer, back to the Lord. So I just thank you so much for your insight into all of this. As we kind of wrap things up, there's just a few questions that we like to ask. And one of them is, because we're at faith school, we want to get all the practical stuff. So mm-hmm. what are some resources that you can recommend to us about this topic, besides your own book, of course?
Yes. So Praying Mom. Yes. No, actually, if I would also recommend, I wrote another book years ago called Praying for Boys. And there is a complement to that called Praying for Girls that's written by a friend of mine, Terry Lynn Underwood. So if you want to get really specific and drive into what kinds of prayers boys need most and what kind girls need most, then I would recommend those two books for you. There's also a small ebook that we offer called How to Pray God's Word for Your Children. Mm-hmm. And actually, people who purchase Praying Mom, there is an actual link inside of Praying Mom where you can go and get that for free. So you can pay for it if you don't want to buy the book, but if you want to get it for free, it is a really practical step-by-step guide in the process that I have used for my own children since the beginning, for 16 years now, of how I have gone to God's word and figured out what I want to pray for them based on the scripture. So it's just a really practical guide. And then I would say the book on prayer that has influenced me the most in my own life is the autobiography of George Mueller. It's a really awesome look at a man who lived many, many years ago, who wanted to demonstrate to the believers of his time that God still answered prayer.
Wow.
And so he lived his life in a way that demonstrated that he actually opened up orphan homes and never asked for a penny, but wow. prayed in every single dime of what God would use to sustain those orphans. It is a wow. powerful, powerful story. And this is like reading his journal as he, you know, went through this. And it's just, wow. I've never read anything that's challenged me in my prayer life and challenged me in the way I trust God more than that book. And it's a very short little book with easy to digest pages. I highly recommend it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. We'll definitely link all of that in our show notes. I love that. And I'm going to be grabbing Praying the Scriptures. I think that's awesome. We're going to be putting in that for sure.
Good.
So the next one is, what is a spiritual practice or a discipline that you have just found really life-giving right now?
So I have been journaling through the Proverbs for about the last month. I have been, so on the day that we're taping this, this is the 13th of the month. So today I read Proverbs 13 and then journaled through asking the Lord to show me specifically what those verses can inform me about ministry and business principles. Ooh. So I'm trying to look for that, but it really applies outside of that as well. You could journal through the Proverbs and ask the Lord, show me what I need to see about motherhood. Show me what I need to see about my job. Show me what I need to see about whatever, my marriage. Yeah. There's principles for everything in the Proverbs, but I have just been specifically applying it to ministry and business principles. And I have just really been filled up with what the Lord is showing me and teaching me about that.
That's really cool. I love that. If you could assign one piece of homework to my listeners, what would it be?
So I would encourage your listeners to take a little retreat. It doesn't have to be a long retreat. I'm not asking you to go anywhere. I'm mm-hmm. just saying, if your kids are still little and they're in the home, ask your husband, you know, on Tuesday, when you get home, could I have a half an hour to myself? Like, schedule it, right? So that everybody knows what's coming. Yeah. And make a list of the things that your children are struggling with right now. Just a bullet point list of areas where you would like to see God do something. They can be character traits. They can be specific sins, specific situations that they're dealing with. Be a student of your child and really take a half an hour or so to get specific about the areas that you see them struggling in. Mm-hmm. And then visit your Bible concordance and look up verses that talk about the biblical opposite of their struggles. Mm. So in other words, what do you want God to turn their struggle into? Mm-hmm. What do you want? How do you want him to flip it? So if they're struggling with anger, you might want God to fill them with joy. So look up verses on joy, write down those verses, and then pray them for your children for the next 30 days. And at the end of that time, see what God's done in your home.
That is awesome. That's worth the whole interview right there. Thank you. That's so, so good. So practical. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we say goodbye here?
Yeah, I'd love to speak just a second to that mom that's listening who might be thinking to herself, well, I missed the boat. Mm. My children are grown.
Yeah.
Or they're too old, or gosh, mm-hmm. we've not ever done this. If I just started this right now, it would be weird. They wouldn't receive right. it well. I would like to say to her that it is never too late to become a praying mom. If your children are this side of heaven, you can still pray for them. And if it seems weird, and it might be weird in the beginning, mm-hmm. but they will see a mom that loves her children enough to go to God on their behalf. And that will make a lasting impression, no matter how weird it might seem to begin with. So you can choose today to be a praying mom. It's never too late.
Oh, we'll leave it right there. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Brooke. This has been, like I said, so encouraging and so practical. And I can't wait for people to hear this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I am so thankful for Brooke and our conversation all about the importance of prayer. She just does such a good job sharing about this with us. And it's such a funny story. So she's so kind, you guys. She's so kind. So at the end of this interview, we record on Zoom. And normally when I'm done the interview, I'll just stop the recording.
And so there's a way for me to go stop record, and then I can just continue talking to the guest and share like when the episode will be coming out and just thank them for being on there and reflect on things that I learned. And instead of ending the recording, I ended the entire meeting. So I finished exactly what you heard, and then it just like ended. Oh, I'm so embarrassed, you guys. I was so embarrassed, but Brooke was so, so kind and such a understanding person. So thank you, Brooke, for being so amazing. You guys, I can't recommend Brooke's book enough. Praying Mom. It is full of practical wisdom on prayer, but it also has many scripture-inspired prayers for when you need them the most. Not to mention, you guys, this front cover is gorgeous. If you love today's episode, go say hey to Brooke on social media and just thank her for coming on the show. I just so appreciate her. Next episode, I have my friend and my special guest, Nathan Zieber, on, who will be talking to us about spiritual warfare from the small time to the big time kind of stuff. He has so much wisdom to share about the spiritual realm, why we can be confident if we have the Holy Spirit, and how to start paying attention to when we may be experiencing potentially some warfare in our lives. It's a great episode. It's only my second male guest, so please don't miss this one. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at Faith School Pod on Instagram or in our Facebook group, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.